This morning, I'm encouraged to reflect with you on what it means to be spiritual seed. What is spiritual seed, and how do we sow spiritual seed? When last have you had a good look at Matthew 13? Matthew chapter 13. Well, if you haven't had a good look at Matthew chapter 13 for a little while, just wanted to remind you and each and every one of us that Matthew 13 is perhaps the chapter in the Bible that has the most parables. And a quick count would suggest that there are 7 parables in Matthew 13. Some are longer parables and some are a little shorter. In Matthew 13, we have the parable of the sower, which is by far my favorite parable. It includes the parable of the weeds among wheat, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the yeast, the parable of the buried treasure, the parable of fine pearl, the parable of thrown net, and we can go on and on. So then we're looking at a chapter with parables. Now, can anyone say very quickly what's a parable? What do we know about parables? What's a parable? An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's right to the point. And you know what? Parables are an effective way of teaching, and Jesus used this method very successfully. A parable actually reveals a spiritual truth through an everyday story. And it usually compares something familiar with something unfamiliar. So Jesus used parables because it allowed him to move from the natural level of life to the spiritual level. And Jesus' parables allowed him to use illustrations that were relevant to the experiences of his listeners so that they would understand him. So let's look at the parable of the sower. It's probably one of the better known illustrations from scripture about what we do as Christians. And here we must bear in mind that Jesus was speaking to people who understood farming. Now, I would imagine that if Jesus were to come to North York today, he probably will not give an illustration about farming. He'll probably give an illustration about traffic, about technology, about music, about a lot of the issues that are familiar to us today. But I'm not sure if he'll use an illustration about farming. For instance, some people might ask, what's a mustard seed? Never heard of that stuff. I know about mustard, but a mustard seed? But a close and deeper understanding of this passage reminds us about what we are called to do in our daily walk with Christ. For the reading explains why people responded differently to an invitation to the Christian life. And Jesus tells this parable to teach his disciples and to teach us by extension that we should persevere in telling others about Christ. So then, as the parable goes, a sower went out to sow. Some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and gobbled them up. Other seeds fell on stony ground, where they did not have much soil. And because the soil was shallow, the seed sprang up quickly, but when the sun rose, they were scorched and they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And we too might notice that people would not necessarily respond positively to the gospel, for the seeds that fall on the path are people who do not quite understand the gospel message and could be easily distracted. Those who are consumed by the challenges of life are like the seeds that fall on rocky soil. And the seed that fell among thorns are like those of us who understand, agree, but might not necessarily practice what we believe to be true. And my friends, if we care to admit it, we keep on doing what we've always done and expect to get different results, don't we? Yes, we must look at our habits for spiritual living to bring us into a closer relationship with Christ. The good news, however, is that other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And as we reflect on the parable of the sower, let us bear in mind that at the time of Jesus, seed was an especially valuable commodity, particularly in famine communities. Nevertheless, despite the value of the seed, the sower was quite generous in spreading them. And today, despite all of the advances in science, in technology, and in distribution methods, seeds are still critical in farming and in food production. Yes, it remains a precious commodity which must be distributed to feed the hungry and those who are in worse circumstances than we are. And Jesus and the disciples were very liberal in sowing the seeds of the gospel and talking about the kingdom of heaven. And we too are encouraged to follow that example as we share the gospel without any preconceived ideas about who might respond positively. So then, in summary, we have four soils and we have four hearts. For we are reminded that there are four types of soil, each representing a different response to God's message. And we will all respond differently because of our individual circumstances. I know that none of us fit into these categories, but sometimes we meet people who are cynical about the gospel, don't we? And some of us probably do not take enough time or make enough effort to fully appreciate the Word of God. And then there are those among us, and I can identify with this. We are all distracted by the concerns that we have and also about the concerns of other people, instead of placing these concerns into God's care. Yes, we must strengthen our faith and lean more on God. And I know that I'm speaking to myself here. For God alone knows where His word has taken root in our lives and where we are faithful. So the question that I'm posing today to each and every one of us, including myself, what type of soil are you? What type of soil am I? The good news is that wherever we are today, whatever type of soil we are today, God will never ever give up on us. God never gives up on His faithful. The sower went out sowing, and just as Jesus and His disciples sowed the seeds of God's word, we are encouraged to do likewise. But we also notice that the sower does not limit the scattering of the seeds to the good soil. Although a practical approach might be to sow where there is likelihood of a greater yield. And in everything that we do what? We set priorities. We look at the more likely chance of success. So for instance, if you're investing, you look at a stock that might yield a little more return on investment. If we look around the neighborhood and we say, who could we reach out to in the neighborhood? We would say things like, this group is more likely to respond. We set priorities, but our priorities are not necessarily in keeping with God's will. And perhaps this sower is optimistic that something might grow, even on rocky ground or among the thorns. So guess what the sower does? The sower scatters the seeds everywhere. And we too must be faithful in scattering the spiritual seeds regardless of the circumstances. For we do not know how God might use us to change someone's life, even if it seems unlikely. In the parish where I spent a number of years, we placed before God the issue of growth. And we said, God, we need to grow. And a group of us sat around and we looked at our three services and we said, look, we'll grow the 8 o'clock service by this percentage, we'll grow the 9:15 service by this number, and we'll grow the 11:15 service by that number. And that would be our growth. And so we set out trying to do that. Guess what? God gave the growth, but not in the way it was expected. Because God provided three other opportunities for growth through a Mandarin ministry, through a Tamil ministry, and through a chapel in the neighborhood. If we place our needs before God and we're faithful, God will provide the results, but not necessarily the results that we expect. So let us remain faithful. And so, my friends, we are also like soil. For we must continue to allow our soil to be fertilized so that the seed of the gospel could flourish. Let us make a commitment to be good soil. And we must remember that being fertile soil is always a work in progress. We are all here to grow in Christ and to reach out in His name. And while we may think that we are or we aspire to be good soil, there might be occasions when, despite our best efforts, we are more like the shallow soil, the rocky ground, or the soil filled with weeds and thorns. Aren't we? We do have those moments because we're human. We are not perfect, and that's okay. For we must bear in mind that each and every one of us is God's work in progress. One of the priorities that we have set for ourselves is spiritual growth. And plans are now underway for a Christian education series on Thursday evenings during the fall. Please block out your calendar, as the details will be provided fairly soon. Here we will share perspectives on habits for spiritual growth and how we keep God at the center of our lives. And this is the Thursday night series that's going to be offered in conjunction with other opportunities for Christian education. And I hope that you will take the time to participate. But even more than this, we have the privilege to be sower of God's seeds of love in the world around us. And this parable, the parable of the sower, should encourage us all to keep on sowing even more seeds. Let us invite more people to come and see what God is doing through your faithful witness here at St. George on Young. But we must also bear in mind that Jesus explained why the good news produced different results from people. And we too should expect the same. Because when we share the gospel story, not everyone will respond. For although the person in the parable sowed good seed, not all of the seed took root. And even those that grew had different amounts of crops. So we should be encouraged that even if we do not see the results right away, we cannot force beliefs on people. But we do not know how the Holy Spirit is using our words and our acts of faithfulness to lead others closer to Christ. And in closing, we serve an amazing God, and we must remember that. And our amazing God never gives up on us. And we should never underestimate the power of God to change our lives and the lives of others. So tell me, if you had a choice, would you prefer to be the sower? Would you prefer to be the soil? Or would you prefer to be the seed? Would you prefer to scatter the seed? Would you prefer to be the soil to receive the seed? Or would you prefer to be the seed itself to be scattered and sown? Well, guess what? There are all three wonderful choices, aren't there? And I can just see your mind churning, saying, I want to be all three. So do I. And guess what? As Christians, we are called to be all three. We are called to be the sower because we help spread the word of God as we teach and lead others to Christ. So we are all sowers. We are all called to be soil as well because we allow the word of God to permeate our lives, to permeate our entire being, so that we can live faithfully and so that we can be drawn closer to Christ. And as the seed, we are scattered into the world because when we leave here this morning, where do we go? We go back into the world. We go back into our families. We go back into our workplaces. We go back into our neighborhoods to yield good fruit by our life and our example. So my sisters and brothers in Christ, we're all of the above. And we pray that God would continue to use us and that we'd respond faithfully to what God is leading us to do as we do our best, as we remain faithful, working with each other to build up God's kingdom here in this corner of Willowdale. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My sisters and my brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.